each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father. How are you?
Good. What is today?
Today's Friday. Thank God it's Friday.
TGIF. It is Friday, and tomorrow's a feast of the Immaculate Conception. We had the feast of St. Nicholas.
Yes.
Yesterday, and tomorrow the feast of the Immaculate Conception, then the second Sunday of Advent, and then we move into the great feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I have a question, Father.
Okay, what's your question? That's what I need.
It's office work. Are you having the vigil tonight for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, people were asking.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about mm-hmm. that. So I had the children's mass this morning, and I kind of wove it into the...
Oh, okay, to the feast?
Into the feast.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
And people, yeah, they were asking.
Technically, they don't show a vigil. Well, the feast begins.
So, the feast, know, yeah.
There you go. You got your answer.
Okay, thank you.
Very good, okay.
So, if anybody's listening, there's your answer. No, I have to call them back.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Father,
people get confused. You know the image when they say the Feast of the Immaculate Conception?
Right.
They automatically think, and this is what I thought years ago, that it's the of Jesus.
Right.
And it's the Blessed Mother.
Right, exactly. In fact, the gospel is from the Feast of the Annunciation,
mm-hmm.
or it's account of the Annunciation, the conception of Jesus. So naturally mm-hmm. people would think.
They think, yes.
But it's really the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary, mm-hmm. in view of the redemption, in view of the incarnation mm-hmm. and the Paschal mystery, in view of God taking on our flesh,
mm-hmm.
the visitation of God for the purpose of our salvation, in view of that, Mary was the Blessed Virgin. I always feel funny just saying Mary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the Blessed Virgin.
The Blessed Virgin.
Mary. I feel like I'm being disrespectful.
Yeah,
if I just,
or the Blessed Mother.
Blessed Mother, the Mother of God. But in any case, she's identified in the Gospels as her name is Mary. Although Jesus, in John's Gospel, refers to her as woman
mm-hmm.
for a reason, because it brings us all the way back to Genesis, and he'll carry us down to the or up to the end of the scripture,
mm-hmm.
the book of Revelation, the woman. But in any case, the Blessed Virgin Mary is immaculately conceived without sin. She was conceived without any stain of original mm-hmm. sin, in view of the indwelling or God entering into history through this very pure
mm-hmm.
Channel.
Yes.
She becomes she is the sanctuary. When you think about that, and I'll tell you, the fact that we're pro-life, you simply have to point to sacred scripture, how often the sacred sanctuary of the womb
mm-hmm.
comes into the biblical story.
Sure.
You know? Even in a harsh way, when the prophet Jeremiah in his lament, curses the day of his conception,
mm-hmm.
and had wished that he had been aborted.
Yeah, those are harsh words. That.
Yeah, very harsh.
Yes.
But, or even you think of God who says, because it was kind of unthinkable,
mm-hmm.
that even if your mother should forget you, I cannot forget you. You know, yeah. God who were conceived in the wombs of our mother, that's the first sanctuary. The human child is safeguarded and protected in the sacred womb of the mother. So even in the Blessed Virgin Mary conceives by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and it's in that moment God takes on flesh. He takes his flesh from her flesh. And even in the visitation, when she goes to Elizabeth, these are two women pregnant
mm-hmm.
with children. Of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary impregnated or carrying within her womb God. When you think about this, it's really awesome, isn't it? It's just it's beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to sit with that, you know. But God so condescends, and he takes his flesh from her flesh,
mm-hmm.
and so he's hidden from the eyes of the world for 9 months in the sanctuary of the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And when she goes as a woman pregnant with child, and she goes to her cousin Elizabeth, who also is, by the miracle of God, the grace of God, is pregnant with a forerunner
mm-hmm.
to the Messiah, he who would proclaim, point out the Messiah, this call to repent for the time has come. Now, this is 33 years later, now when Jesus, or 30 years later, when he begins his mission, his ministry, or his mission that would take him to the holy city, to Calvary. But the two women, they meet, St. Elizabeth and the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's an interesting exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Annunciation, when Mary is, first of all, when the angel Gabriel announces to her that she's the mother, been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, and of course the naming her, I was trying to explain that to the children mm-hmm. this morning. I do this every year, and we talk about it every year on the radio, but the greeting of the angel Gabriel, I have to always check out to see if they know mm-hmm. the story, and they do. They've got it. But they don't remember, and I tell them every year, and I don't expect that they would remember that, but that the angel says, "Hail." Now you have to explain to the kids it is not hell, you know, the domain of the devil.
Yeah, hail.
It's not hail as in...
Like the snow.
The snow or the ice.
Yeah, the ice.
Ice, rain, uh-huh. mixture, whatever. Ice, yeah. The rain, the snow, whatever. It's not that, but hail, greeting, Ave, that the, you know, it's the greeting, but that the angel didn't say, as we begin the Ave Maria, Ave, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. All this comes right out of Luke's gospel, the very gospel we read today for the feast. And because we really don't read the visitation. It's strictly the Annunciation, the announcement. But the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary, is taken from the first part of the prayer is from the Gospel of Luke, the angel's words to the Blessed Virgin Mary in Nazareth. Hail, we say Hail Mary, full of grace. He didn't say Hail Mary. He simply said Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. And then, of course, Elizabeth in the visitation said, blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb. But you see the sanctuary of the womb. This is a very beautiful image. And in our defense of life, we have to keep going back to that. You know, all we have to do is go back to the Bible. When people wonder, what is this fixation we have on life in the womb? I mean, what the question is, what? Why would it not be, right?
Yeah.
This is how we all began. We all began in the womb of our mothers. Yeah. You know, thank God that our mothers saw to it that we were brought to the fullness of life. But the angel, going back to the greeting, basically names her, Hail Kekaritomene, Hail full of grace. We speak about this every year, don't we? But I love that. I love the sound of that. Mm-hmm. But what does this name signify? What does it say? But this is a reference to the fact that she was immaculately conceived. Mm-hmm. Because of the fall. See, the thing is, Adam and Eve were created in original holiness, righteousness. They were brought into life without sin, but they were free. They had to respond. As you know, otherwise it wouldn't be a loving relationship. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if He created us out of love, He loved us into life, then for it to be a genuine love, it requires a response, right? As I tell the children this morning, you know, nobody's going to force you. I'm not going to put a gun to your head and say, you've got to. God doesn't put a gun to our head and say, you've got to. You have to love me. Him. That wouldn't be love at all. But it is. But He did love us into life, and there was the original holiness, original righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam and Eve, they rebelled, and so they gave birth to sin and death, to disorder. So in the incarnation, and then of course it was prophesied that a woman immediately after the fall, that this woman would emerge in history, and her offspring would crush the head of the serpent. This was at the temptation, the taunting, the allurement of the devil, that Adam and Eve rebelled. And so anyways.
And it's so beautiful, Father, because, you know, in you mentioned Eve. In Spanish, Eve is Eva, and how Mary turned it around. She was submissive to God's will and obedient. The opposite of what Adam and Eve, they were disobedient.
Right.
And so they call it Ave. So it's
Ave, just the opposite. Eva,
it's the opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So is that not the case in English?
No, it's not the case in English. But
certainly.
Because Eve Ave is spelled.
Oh, we say Hail Mary. We say Ave Maria. No, uh-huh. What do we say in Spanish?
Dios te salve.
Dios te salve Maria.
But when we say Ave Maria.
Ave Maria. By the way, you know what's very beautiful in Italy is that you don't hear it all the time, but you hear it a lot, and depending on what part of Italy, the greeting is Salve.
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 Salve. So Ave, Hail. It comes out of that era.
You know, the Hail Mary in Spanish, the second part is Ave Maria.
Dios te salve, Dios te salve Maria, salve, salve. This is the greeting, Hail, Hail. And then the name, and we say, we name her Mary.
Mary.
But the angel doesn't.
No.
The angel doesn't say Ave Maria, or Hail Mary. He says, Hail, Kekaritomene, Hail, full of grace. This is a name that, but you get the point. It's basically a naming, a name that signifies who she is. You know, she was immaculately conceived. She was conceived without sin. She was full of grace. There was no impediment, no barrier, nothing to prevent her from receiving the fullness of God. Because the sin is the impediment.
Yes.
I was trying to explain that to the children this morning as well, that when we sin, we create a distance between ourselves and God. Now, God comes to the sinner, right? He seeks out the sinners.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear in sacred scripture. He laid down his life for sinners. But it's a way of, if the devil allures us mm-hmm. away from God into falsehood, because mm-hmm. the truth is that life is God. God is life, and we have life in God. And so if we separate from God, we separate from life, the fullness of life, and the fullness of that life isn't going to be realized until after we pass from here to there. But the so if the devil allures us away from God,
mm-hmm.
and we follow, we go, then we create a chasm or a distance between ourselves and God. We separate mm-hmm. from God. God remains always disposed and waiting, right? This is interesting because an Advent is a season of waiting. It's a calling us to be disposed, to be receptive, to be on guard, to be waiting. So it's a mutual waiting, but a mutual coming together when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the but this Kekaritomene, which is the name, which means full of grace, that she and she alone can receive the fullness of God, because there's no impediment, there's no barrier, there's no sin that prevents God's perfection from entering in the world through her perfection, a pure channel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And again, this is by God's choice. You know, it's mm-hmm. God did this in view of the incarnation and the redemption. And this was foretold, prophesied from the very beginning, immediately after the fall. So I love that Kekaritomene, full of grace. So the prayer then, the Ave Maria, Hail Mary, Salve,
mm-hmm.
Regina, a Salve Regina, the Hail Queen. This is a beautiful prayer too, isn't it? Really, I love the Salve Regina.
It's beautiful.
Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us a blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. We pray that prayer now after every Mass,
yes.
After the St. Michael prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even this morning as we were praying that with the children, because I've heard criticism of that prayer that, you know, it's which is part of the problem in the church today. I tell you, we're really in a place where we need a deep reform.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is we got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to reality. And to try to pretend or to live as if little is expected of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that the world, the world that God's, how many times do we have to say this? God so loved the world that he sent his only son, not to condemn, but to save. By the way, it's interesting, you know, the extraordinary form,
mm-hmm.
the Latin Mass that was celebrated, is still celebrated, but mm-hmm. was the norm in the Latin church, in the Roman church, Roman rite, Latin rite, that this gospel was read at every Mass. You know, so the fact that we keep going back to it ourselves, even on the radio, because it says everything. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not for condemnation, but for salvation. The light came into the darkness. People rather chose to stay in the dark. They chose not to come to the light for fear their deeds be exposed. You know, again, the freedom, right? The freedom, love requires or invites a response. It's an invitation to respond to salvation,
mm-hmm.
to relationship. But But the so the Immaculate Conception, the feast of the Immaculate Conception, is the conception. It's the feast of Mary's conception, not the conception of Jesus.
Yeah.
Even though we read the Annunciation because of that, Hail, full of grace, Que cari domine. And you, woman, there is no impediment, no barrier, no obstacle, nothing to prevent God from coming into the world through you. And so what it is again, by God's, as you just said, alluded to that fact, that what Adam and Eve undid, Mary and Jesus
restored.
They untied the knot.
Mm-hmm.
They untied the knot. Adam and Eve were created in original holiness, original righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
The new Adam, the new Eve are created. Jesus was not created. Mary was created. She is not God. She's a creature. But she is the highest of all creatures. Mm-hmm. She is above us all by God's
choice,
you know. And this beautiful, the mystical body of Christ. You know, I was reading the other day, people, you got to keep this in mind, especially as we're passing through this very dark time, and it is. I don't want to exaggerate it, but it is
mm-hmm.
for so many people, because that's what we need, profound faith, to understand that we've got to carry people through this time of corruption, this time of a criminal crime, perversion, just the disgusting stuff, that the whole world has slipped into this. And with it, the priesthood and the episcopacy, and not in all cases, certainly not, but but the fact that we're bombarded with the reality of just the vast numbers and the cover-ups and all that, this is very, very disturbing to so many people. And it's extremely hard because nobody wants to be identified with this, and it is a total antithesis of the one mark of the church, that the church is one, holy, Catholic, and the four marks of the church. The church is one. Jesus founded one church. He's not the founder of many churches. He founded one church. As Catholics, we're part of the mother church. Other Christians are Christians. They're ecclesial communities, church communities, but they're not in communion with the mother church. This is our hope and our prayer, that there be this coming home, in a sense. But the four marks of the church, Jesus founded one church, a holy church, immaculate, apostolic, Catholic and apostolic, Catholic meaning universal, and apostolic, that it's the church has an identity so far as she's in the apostolic tradition that was what was given to the apostles by Jesus, is that we have to remain faithful to that, all that was revealed, right? So the Holy Church, and this is, people say, well, yeah, Holy Church, but then look at what the bishops and the priests are doing, looking at the errors or the flaws of the Pope. But see, it's a wake-up call for all of us that we're not ordained, I shouldn't say ordained, but we're not baptized for the cardinals or for the Pope or for the priests. We're baptized for life in Christ, together to participate in this mission that's been entrusted to us, to be the emissaries and to be the sacrament in the world that mediates the grace. And that's why we have an obligation to keep it as pure as possible. But the holiness of the church is more than the sum total of all her members. The church's holiness, her perfection, is hidden in Christ and in the communion of saints and the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's where we look to find that perfection. We're the militant church in the battle, right? We're fighting the battle. We are sinners. Again, as we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Mary did not sin. She was conceived without sin. She did not sin. It's a teaching of the church. And so we can at least see the church's perfection in the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the head and the body. Jesus is the head, we're the body. She represents the perfection of that body, or maybe the better image would be the bridegroom and the bride, because it's a nuptial, it's a wedding, a marriage. Jesus, the bridegroom, Mary, the bride, the pure bride, the perfect bride, the virginal bride, right? This is, but we as members, you know, whether Pope, bishops, priests, we're sinful, all of us, but we all have an obligation, right, to seek holiness of life. And in this world, it's a struggle. And if we think we're going to go back to the, and then we'll take a break, Nick, but the going back to the reservation people have with the Salve Regina, the prayer, I've read this. I've heard even the Pope himself said, we're not in a valley of tears, but I beg to differ. We are in a valley of tears. He speaks off the cuff so often that it creates confusion, because we're so used to, we look to the Pope to have this great clarity when it comes to the things of the faith, but because he speaks every day, I mean, really, truly every day off the cuff, you know, he's like the pastor down the street, you know, or the uncle who, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But when people say that, it really goes back to this over the past several decades, where we're gonna befriend the world. We've talked about this often, and Jesus said, he says, you're not going to befriend the world. You're going to be at enmity with the world. The world is going to hate you. Jesus said, as the world has hated me, the world is going to hate you. So those were his parting words to the disciples the night before he died, after he instituted the Holy Eucharist. And he prayed. But again, it goes back. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save. But the choice we have to decide, are we going to then live under the dominion of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or do we live under the dominion of the world without God? And many choose to do just that. So if we're going to try to befriend that world, and there's elements of good everywhere, sure, but there's also the great evil, the deception, but it's outside, it's within as well. We know that too much now.
Sure.
And so it really begs us, the reality of sin, the reality of evil, darkness, begs us to authenticate our lives, no longer to look outside of ourselves and look at the church as something out there, but to really mature into this reality that we are the church. And I can't change the priests or the bishops or the Pope or you or anybody. I can only begin with myself, and I have to begin there by saying, there but by the grace of God go I. And the Jesus prayer, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. The Blessed Virgin Mary never had to say that prayer. We have to repeat that prayer. Yeah, even in the chaplet given to us by Jesus to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, you know, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world, right? The whole prayer is an acknowledging that we are sinners and our gratitude that God has redeemed us, but, you know, that he give us the grace to submit, to surrender, to give ourselves over to God, to be merciful because we are sinners. We miss the mark, you know, but thank God, you know, we say of the Blessed Virgin, she is our solitary boast, a creature, because she was created, created to be the mother of God, the mother of the Messiah. And again, it goes back to this, the mystical body, the family. God the Father sent his only begotten Son to redeem, to save, to adopt us, bring us into the family, to make us adopted sons and daughters. And from the cross, to solidify, to cement the the family. And it's, you got to understand, people, too, this idea of redefining marriage and redefining the family to give a green light to the marriage of two men or two women. We don't have the authority to do that as Christians. We just don't have the authority to do that. So it's not being hateful, or it's just we don't. It's just what Pope John Paul II said to the protesters in Belgium. I always remember that when they protested the church's teachings on sexuality and marriage and all this, and they burned effigies of the Pope. They sent helium-filled condoms in the air like balloons, you know, in the presence of the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, and he just very politely and calmly, peacefully said, I don't have the authority to change these things. I don't have the authority to change it. This would be a complete rupture from the biblical imprint, the biblical message, the nuptial, so that even from the cross, Jesus, the last great gift before the gift of our salvation, was that he handed over to the church, which was being born right there, his mother. This woman, these are your children. And he says, children, or referring to John, son, but John represents all the disciples. Son or children, this is your mother. This is your mother. And John took her into his heart, into his home. And then we see her with the apostles in prayer and on the Feast of Pentecost in the upper room in the cenacle. So the prophecy is fulfilled, right? The Isaiah's prophecy that Mother Israel, in one moment's time would suffer the pain of labor and give birth to children she never conceived. And so at the foot of the cross, daughter Zion, Mother Israel, is in the pain of labor. She's giving birth to her children, children she never conceived, as we're being born there from the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the cross. We become the Messianic people. This is a beautiful image. I hope it makes sense. Yeah. But it's a very powerful, very beautiful image. And again, it begins. That's why John begins with a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Woman, they have no wine. They're at the wedding feast. There's no wine. She says, but why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come. He says, why does this concern you? The hour. He says, woman, why does this concern you? The hour has not yet come. Mm-hmm. So this is, and she just says to the stewards, do what he tells you to do. And he performs his first miracle. And so then she basically initiates the movement toward the hour. And the next time we see her is at the hour. And it's the hour of our redemption. And so there again, the man and the woman, because what constitutes a marriage, man and woman, life becomes life through the union of man and woman. So in this very, very symbolic, very mystical way, you've got the woman and the man, the bridegroom and the bride, and the marriage that began at Cana, and the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, is now consummated at the cross, and the Messianic children are being born. And so Mother Israel, daughter Zion, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the bridge between the Old and the New Covenant, is there in the pain of labor. As she suffers there at the foot of the cross, she's giving birth to her children in one moment's time, children she never conceived. And it's further further emphasized in the book of Revelation, as John writes the book of Revelation as well, when about midway into the book of Revelation, the heavens open and the ark appears, and the woman, pregnant with child, about to give birth, the dragon, the ancient serpent, Remember in Genesis, the woman would emerge in history, her offspring would crush the head of the serpent. So the serpent's there waiting for her to give birth to crush the child, which is the Christ. But he escapes. No, it's Satan who's defeated, the dragon, the serpent. So he goes in pursuit of the woman. She escapes. She's given a place, a refuge away from the serpent. All this alludes to their passing from this life to the next, where Satan has no power over them. And so the scripture goes on to say, so the dragon, the ancient serpent, Satan, waits for her children. Her children. And who are her children? Those who obey the commandments and give witness to Jesus. Now, the woman, in a singular way, is the Blessed Virgin Mother, Virgin Mary, in a singular way. But it's also the Church, Holy Mother Church, the Church's wedded to Christ, the bridegroom. Does that...
Yes.
But you see, so you just take the whole mystery of the nuptial, and it's right there. We don't have the authority to redefine this, you know. So anyway, but yes, today's a feast of the Immaculate Conception. When I come back, I want to say something about her fiat. Fiat means what? But her yes, her response to the proclamation of the angel, Hail, Kikarito Mary, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and announcing her that she is the mother of the Messiah, but he needs a response. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to Our Lady of Guadalupe celebration on Sunday, December 9th from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. Then on Wednesday, December 12th, on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, starting early at 5 a.m., Mañanitas, the serenading of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Then, at 7 p.m., there will be a special Mass in honor of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Following the Mass, the celebration will continue in the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Gym at 1255 North Noble Street. There will be a folklore and Aztec dance presentation, as well as the presentation of the story of the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And, of course, there'll be food for sale. Tamales, pozole, sopes, Mexican-style hot chocolate, and much, much more. The funds raised will benefit St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. That's Sunday, December 9th. St. Stan's is located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join in our celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
On this 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's towering encyclical, Humanae Vitae, Father Coys invites you to St. James of the Sag in Lamont to a multi-part series with Dr. Robert Lawler, so you can gain an understanding of this document, which is as relevant today as it was 50 years ago, reinforcing Catholic teaching against artificial contraception and its resulting dangers. The series kicks off in Sag Hall at St. James of the Sag Friday, December 14th, immediately following 6 p.m. Mass. The topic? Humanae Vitae as a tsunami. Then, on the following Wednesdays, immediately following 7 p.m. Mass, on January 9th, 23rd, and February 6th, Parts 2, 3, and 4 will cover building on Humanae Vitae and the theology of the body and how we are to live today. These topics will have discussion on the definitions of boy and girl, masculinity and femininity, husband and wife, and mother and father, and how these definitions have been obscured to create confusion over gender, marriage, sex, and the family. Plus, as an added bonus, Christopher West's 70-page book, Eclipse of the Body, will be available at no charge at the rectory. Historic St. James of the Sag is located at 10600 Archer Avenue, Lamont, Illinois.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. What is a saint anyway? Although I was imprisoned for 7 years during a terrible persecution of the church, under the pagan Roman Emperor Diocletian, I'm one of the first saints honored not because I suffered a bloody martyrdom like St. Peter or St. Paul. I was called a saint because people began to say, Nicholas loves Jesus so much that you can see a lot of Jesus in him. And that's what a saint is, someone who wants to become more and more like Jesus, who is the light of the world each and every day of our lives. One day when a class of parochial school students were in church, their pastor asked the assembly of children, what is a saint? Then a first grade girl pointed up to a stained glass image of a saint saying, saints are those people who let the light in. And so as we celebrate the birth of Christ, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Christ is born. Glorify him.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other Bold Talks with Father Thomas Loyola, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
So what is you're listening in the car.
Yeah.
Late as you are. I said, you know, one of these days I'm going to fire you. but what is, so what is the name the angel gave to the Blessed Virgin?
Wait, did I miss this?
Well,
were you paying attention?
So I at the Mass, I asked on another Tony, Antonio, because I talked about this. And
Hail, full of grace.
With a K.
Yeah, I can't say it.
I don't expect even. Poor guy.
You know, I hate to say it. You think I'm lying. You're going to think I'm lying. But that's what came to mind when you, but I just
sure, no, I'm sure. I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard you say it.
But I love it. Yeah. I like the kids seem to be interested in it. And then so at the end of the homily, I ask
Antonio.
Because he's got this, that look about him, like he's ready for a challenge and he just wants to. So, and he's sitting in the front row, so it's easy.
That does
so
it.
So I said, okay, so Antonio, what did the angel call her? How did he name the Blessed Virgin? And of course, he didn't know, and that was not fair for me to ask that question because that's a hard thing to remember for anybody, you know.
That's why I sit in back. I never sit in front.
Right, exactly, yeah. But in the Annunciation, you know, this is, we're celebrating today, or tomorrow, actually, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We'll begin that this evening, though, because we will have the vigil mass this evening. So the angel needed a response. You know, she's immaculately conceived in view of Christ, the incarnation, the paschal mystery, and she would fully participate in that. Of course, I mean, you couldn't more fully participate in the incarnation because she bore Christ in her womb. Nurtured his life. I just find that fascinating that God entrusted himself to this woman because he had to learn. She had to teach him everything. Mm-hmm. She had to take care of him. Mm-hmm. So God is, imagine, think about that. God in the world, in the innocence and the fragility of a child, totally dependent on a mother, a father. St. Joseph was brought in as the foster, would you say foster father?
The foster father. Yes.
That was his role. And then she fully participated in the redemption as she's there. I always think of, and I mentioned this to the children this morning because I was trying to make I hope they got all this, you know, there's so much, you know, that where was he born? Okay, he was born in Jerusalem. No, he wasn't born in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holy city. Where was he born? It was a little town very close. Oh, Bethlehem. Everybody says Bethlehem. And what does Bethlehem mean? Bethlehem. But to tell him, okay, house of bread. Some of them remember that because we go through this every year, which means what? That it signifies something about the child, that as wheat is crushed and it become bread, that he would be crushed. And I can point to the huge cross, the crucifix we have, that Jesus, this child born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, would be crushed, that he become bread, you know, for the journey, so that we are strengthened, that we don't collapse as we go on our way. Even the fact that he was born in a trough, you know, or laid in a trough, in the cradle, but it was an animal trough. Mm-hmm. What does that say? You know, but the animals eat from the trough. Mm-hmm. You know, so that when we come into the Mass, you know, we're coming in gratitude, certainly because of we've been redeemed, we've been saved, and but it's nobody's forcing us, mm-hmm. and so this is our fiat. It's where we utter our yes to the will of God. So the Blessed Virgin Mary had to respond in the name of all humanity for all time. And I think I've brought this up before, but Mother Angelica, God rest her soul, but she said it so beautifully, that how the whole of creation stood still awaiting the response. She said the birds didn't sing and the wind didn't blow. The dogs didn't bark. There's a stillness. The whole of creation waiting. What is she going to say? Because our redemption depends on her response. Mm-hmm. And when she said yes, she said the birds begin to fly and the mm-hmm. wind begin to blow and the dogs begin to bark. But she said it in a very beautiful way. So when the Blessed Virgin Mary said, but how can this come about? Mm-hmm. Since I do not know man, she and Saint Joseph were by God's grace fully committed to each other in marriage, but their lives were first and foremost fully dedicated to God, mm-hmm. and they knew they didn't know what or how, but they knew that there was, you know, how you have this intuitive sense that I've got, my life has to be given for God. I have to give my life mm-hmm. to God, which means that I'm not. I'm not going to marry, mm-hmm. or I'm going to, you get the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, and it could be in any, but so these are two people who come together mm-hmm. in marriage, but with the understanding that they weren't going to give themselves to each other, physically to each other in sexual union, but that they, because their lives were, they know, again, just intuitively knew this was God, they were already responding to the call. Mm-hmm. So how can this be, since I know not man, yeah. and don't intend to know man in the union of marital union that begets life? Well, but by the grace of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And there's a whole topology that goes back to the prefiguration in the Old Testament. I don't have time to go into that right now, but
you know, Father, you know how you say it's the bride and groom. How when at least like the earth was waiting for her answer. It's like the proposal, like when a man proposes to
sure.
a woman.
Yeah, sure.
It's beautiful.
Sure, this is a good way to look at it too.
Yeah, and then it's like, she said yes, yay, and you
yeah.
celebrate.
Yeah,
and
it's right. like, yay, yay. All right, bravo. So she says what, but she gives a response, let it be done unto me as you have said. Jesus, too, you know, when you think, so that's her fiat, her yes. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave his definitive yes, where? But in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. Let this cup pass me by, but no, not my will, but thy will be done. So he says yes. Where do we give our fiat, our yes? At what point in the Mass do we give our consent, our assent, our yes, our fiat? At what point in the Mass do we give ourselves over to God for his purpose?
Is that the beginning of the...
This is very important.
I've never thought of this.
But yeah. It's very important, and I you know, the...
Well, no, it would be the creed, right?
No.
Not the
not
creed?
The consecration.
No.
Not at the beginning of the Mass?
No. So think about this. You know, it's interesting. The Baptists, for instance, they have what they call the altar call, although they don't have an altar.
Right.
Right? So mm-hmm. after the preaching, they go up and they, you know, they give themselves over to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they do it, and you do it once, and that's it. You know?
The offertory, right?
At the offertory.
Sorry, yeah.
At the offertory. Mm-hmm. When I turn around and I say to the people, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, mm-hmm. and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. It's at that point that we're giving our consent.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is our yes. Because what is it? It's sacrifice. And we can only do it in and through Jesus. So we're offering Jesus the gift, the bread and the wine, which will become the body and the blood. We offer our lives. This is the altar call. This is the altar call. And it happens every time we go to Mass. So when the priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We're offering Christ, but ourselves in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, for Christ, to the Father, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jesus gives himself to us. In a sense, then we conceive anew, or it's a renewed conception, perhaps. This might be heretical. Because once we're baptized, we're always baptized. But the point is, you know, we're in a mission, you know. So we're sent out to go back into the world and to. Nick, I'm going to just keep going. Is that okay? Yeah, because we're just about at the end.
Father, did you ever see the movie The Greatest Miracle? It's animated on the Mass.
Yes, I did. Yes.
That's a part, and it makes that part where the offertory. Yeah, they do mention that where the. At the offertory, that what are you? Your guardian angel takes. What are you offering God? That's mm-hmm. the moment where we offer our lives, and they. That's. Yeah, it does. Yes. They explain it somehow.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, visually.
And when you think about it too, and this is where I have this belief that someday someone is going to thank each and every one of us. You know, when you think about families, and those of you listening out there, please take note. Because many people feel that they're carrying the faith all by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it could be a wife who doesn't have the support of her husband in the mm-hmm. faith, parents who don't have the support of their children who may not have the support of their parents.
Sure.
And so they feel like they're by themselves, although they never really are, because we come together as a mystical body. And thank God, you know, we have the perfection of the church, which is in the saints. In the early church, they would call all the Christians saints, because we're saints in the making, you know. But because we're in the battle, and because we are sinners, and as the scripture says, the just man sins seven times a day. That's why when Peter said, well, Lord, how many times a day should I forgive my brother? Seven times a day? You know, hip hip hooray, pat me on the back, because mm-hmm. I've answered biblically the correct answer. And Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven, 70 times seven, 70 times seven, seven times 70, 70 times seven, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You forgive, always forgive. But the just man, the mm-hmm. saintly man, sins seven times a day. Now, we're not talking about
something like this little
grave sin, but it could be. It could be, you know, one is,
sure,
you know.
History.
But the point is that we're in the battle. We're in the world. The allurement of the enemy. What are the enemies of the soul? Everybody should know this. The three enemies of the soul are what? The world. That's the world not under the dominion of Christ Jesus. The flesh. We all understand that. And the devil, who's conniving, deceiving, a liar, a seducer, an accuser. You got to remember all these things because, you know, people, we struggle with faith. Faith is not easy. This is not easy to stay on this narrow path. But, and what enables us to do it is that we go to Mass, and we go to Mass in gratitude that God is waiting. Think about that. You know, this is in gratitude that the Lord has paid the price. And the Blessed Virgin Mary participated in that. And so when she said her fiat, her yes, she said it in the name of all humanity. That's why creation stood still. right? When we enter into the sacred mysteries, into the Holy Mass, we do so in gratitude because we know that God is waiting. And we enter into that, into those sacred mysteries to utter our fiat, that here I am. And that's why in the beginning we acknowledge that we are sinners. It's not that we've been beaten up. We succumb. We've been out there in the trenches, and we've taken a lot of hits, and we've fallen, either through our own doing or through, you know, that of others. But we come because, and we acknowledge that we are sinners, but nonetheless, because it's in humility I say, do unto me what I can't do unto myself. And so I say, yes, I surrender, I offer, I sacrifice, I give my life to you. And so that happens every time. So we have to do that all the time. That's why I truly believe that that it's to the benefit of everybody to go to Mass often. I think today in the world as it is today, it should be obligatory to go to Mass every day, don't you think?
I wish there was time to do it every day.
I know, that's the thing. That's the reality, you know. Exactly. But you know, so with all this, as we began the show talking about the darkness and the sky, it's going to get darker and darker and darker, I'm afraid to say. But there's just the stuff that just really, what keeps us going? Sometimes I just want to shake the dust from my feet. I say there, but by the grace of God, go I. But who wants to be identified with this corruption and all this stuff, this gross deviation? And aside from just the predators and all that, God save us, deliver us from these predators or those who use the church for their own gain or for their own whatever. But it's a deviation from the faith. We're going to befriend the world? No. You know, we got to stand. We're in the world, but not of the world. We have to be Christ in the world. He says, you're going to be at enmity. Anyway, we're out of time. But what gives me the grace, the desire, the courage to keep going forward, the peace, is when I enter into those sacred mysteries. And I mean that sincerely. Once we enter into the Mass, it's like, okay, now everything kind of comes into perspective, you know? But it is, that's where we come in gratitude, and we give our consent, our fiat, that the faith is lived in us, God lives in us and through us. All right, everybody. Boy, that went fast.
That went fast.
It was so fast. Have a nice weekend. We will be back sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
It makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that.